Welcome, everybody, to our first episode of Enter the Dojo. This is number one, November 22nd of 2020. And I'm looking forward and I am excited about digging into this amazing episode because we're going to be covering a show that I probably I've lost track of how many times I've seen the show because I just like the show. And but we are going to be talking about Cobra Kai season one for this inaugural episode. But before we go any further, I cannot do this alone because if I did, you would probably turn it off here in the next 5 seconds. So before you turn it off, you must know our other two dojo members, Carrie and Shannon. How are you all doing?
Hey, I'm doing good.
I'm tired.
Well, you better wake up because
it's been a long weekend at the Bucks.
We're about to flip the script. You better wake up.
Oh, dear.
So, we're excited about talking about the show. Before we get into the show itself, check out randomchatter.com for everything else that you will need from the network. Just to kind of go back over the show real quick, if you haven't listened to episode zero, I encourage you to go back out and listen to it. We recorded it a few weeks ago. And we'll have our logo up here shortly on TeePublic. So, and I think it's a pretty sick looking logo too.
I like it.
And I want to give a shout out to Don over at Sportscasters Anonymous for hooking us up with that awesome logo. And we'll have an email up shortly, so you can email us your feedback. You can always review us. That always helps us, get pushed higher up in the ring so people see us. So check that out. We also. This is going to be once a month podcast. So you say, oh, I just don't have time to watch so many episodes of Cobra Kai every week. Well, guess what? You're good now. This is a once a month podcast. And then once Cobra Kai season three is done and we have to wait for season four, you have a whole month to watch one movie that'll probably be an hour to 2 hours long. So, hey, this is the perfect podcast for somebody who just does not have a lot of time on their hands. And matter of fact, I binged in the past three, because why the heck not? And but I'm looking forward to it, and we want to start it off with a martial arts quote of the month. All right, so every month one of us is going to come up with a martial arts quote, and all of us have had backgrounds in martial arts, so I'm sure we've probably heard something from our senseis at one point or another. But I figure if I'm going to quote a sensei for the first month of this podcast, why not go to the grandmaster himself, Mr. Miyagi? Mr. Miyagi said, here are the two rules of Miyagi Ryu Karate. Rule number one, karate for defense only. Rule number two, first learn rule number one. The man has
spoken. And he has spoken, yes. And he should probably take his own advice, because we'll probably get into this a bit more.
Okay.
We'll probably get into this a bit more with season two, but having a tournament be the reason he gets Daniel into training probably did leave the best impression on Daniel LaRusso. And there are a lot of attitudes with both dojos that I just have tons.
This is going to be great.
I apologize. I'm going to apologize in advance. As we've discussed, I am the one currently practicing, and I'm probably the one with the most seniority in a dojo.
I don't do Aikido, so it is a dojang where I am. So okay. Technically, I'm the most senior in our field of martial arts.
Okay. But
that probably is true. I probably have the least experience over Shannon.
But there are a lot of things that just made me twitchy in this as regards to etiquette in general. And we'll probably go into that. And I apologize in advance if I sound kind of snobby, but there are things just like
my My friend said she appreciates Cobra Kai for continuing the tradition of full-grown adults beating up high schoolers.
Come on.
Yes. Agree.
Come on.
Agree.
I'm going to pause. We're going to put a pin in that. We're going to get back to that. Okay. All right. We're going to get back to that. All right.
Hey, you told us to interrupt you at any time.
But
this is your fault.
That is true. We are going to be talking, for those who have not seen season one, first of all, it's like past a 2-year window. Okay, you probably should have seen it by now. Go back, watch it. We're going to talk about Cobra Kai season one. It's spoiler filled, so keep those things in mind. So let's talk a little bit before we get into the actual story itself. Let's talk about where this show came from. It was created by John Hurwitz, who also was on Harold and Kumar. And then Hayden Schlossberg, also Harold and Kumar. And Josh Heald was on Hot Tub Time Machine. So a very odd trio.
Okay.
For a semi-serious show. But hey, we'll get it. It was greenlit on, as far as production goes, it was greenlit on August 4th of 2017 with 10 half-hour episodes. Although the series received offers from Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and AMC, it ultimately ended up on the subscription service YouTube Red. Okay, I just have to say something. If you are getting offers from Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, you can scratch AMC. And you choose YouTube Red, what the heck is your business model thinking?
I don't know.
That was like the one they must have thrown a lot of money at them, because that was like their flagship show.
It was like one of their only shows.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess with Netflix, their flagship show at that time was really big. Was what, Stranger Things, maybe?
Yeah.
AMC had Walking Dead. Hulu was what, really big in Handmaid's Tale or something at that moment.
Like, yeah.
Really picking up. Amazon, it was just. Well, Amazon had Jack Ryan. It was
2017, and yeah, Jack. Not even Jack Ryan yet.
I guess they may not have won a competition. I don't know.
I don't know.
But it did launch on YouTube Red, with the first two seasons being released in 2018, 2019. In June 2020, Netflix acquired the series, and the third season is scheduled for release on January 8, 2021. Whoop, whoop. In October 2020, the season was also renewed for a fourth season, ahead of the third season premiere. So we get two more seasons of Cobra Kai.
Yeah, now I actually want to throw something out there. I doubt anyone is listening, and I know from listening to like random chatter and I think movie chatter, there are people who are kind of sick and tired of shows dealing with the pandemic. But this would be a really interesting show to deal with the pandemic, from just the standpoint of how the two dojos have to adapt, or if they adapt.
I don't think they will.
To working, you don't think so?
I don't think they will. I think they're going to skip over. I would think they would. Not saying they would, but I don't know.
Well, it could be interesting because the Cobra Kai Dojo, pretty much they just spar, really. At least
right.
that's the Miyagi-Do Dojo seems to rely more on kata.
Okay.
So kata can be done, you know, 6 feet apart with as many people as necessary, given if you have space for sparring hand to hand, masks or no masks, that's a little more difficult to do, and they would be interesting to see. And Johnny doesn't seem like the personality type to want to adapt.
No.
So if he is forced to adapt, that could be interesting if he wants to keep his dojo running.
Yeah. I mean, it gets to be interesting. But we'll see what they do. We know they've pushed this release date back further and further. So it was originally January 21st, but they've bumped it to January 8th. So I'm okay with that personally.
Yeah.
Me too. But as far as this show goes, to kind of summarize what Cobra Kai is about, 34 years after their final confrontation at the 84 All-Valley Karate Tournament under 18, All-Valley Karate Tournament, so I had to add that, under 18, Johnny Lawrence is at rock bottom as an unemployed handyman haunted by his wasted life. By the way, best opening scene of a show ever. Mm-hmm. However, when Johnny rescues a bullied kid, Miguel, from bullies, he is inspired to restart the notorious Cobra Kai dojo. However, this revitalization of his life and related misunderstandings finds Johnny restarting his old rivalry with Daniel LaRusso, a successful businessman who may be happily married but is missing an essential balance in life since the death of his mentor, Mr. Miyagi. Meanwhile, even as this antipathy festers, oh, big word, it finds itself reflected in their proteges as Miguel and his comrades are gradually poisoned by Cobra Kai's thuggish philosophy. Meanwhile, while Daniel's daughter Samantha finds herself in the middle of this conflict amidst false friends, Johnny's estranged miscreant son Robbie finds himself inadvertently coming under Daniel's wing and flourishes into ways worthy of Mr. Miyagi. So the characters we have, we're not really kind of going to go into their profiles because they don't really have them. Ralph Macchio plays Daniel LaRusso. Courtney Hengeler plays Amanda LaRusso. By the way, if you can follow her on Twitter, she is absolutely freaking hilarious when she's on Twitter. Mary Mauser plays Samantha LaRusso. Griffin Santo Pietro plays Anthony LaRusso. I bet Shannon or Carrie have something to say about him when we get to him. William Zabka plays Johnny Lawrence. Tanner Buchanan plays Robbie Keane. Sholo Mariduena plays Miguel Diaz. Vanessa Rubio plays Carmen Diaz. Jacob Bertrand plays Hawk. Nicole Brown plays Aisha.
I'm going to have issues with him too.
Gianni DiCenzo plays Dimitri. All right. I'm going to have you all help me out on this one. So since Shannon has more of a familiarity with what we're going to talk about in the first one, I want to kind of talk about a little bit about the karate styles that are used in Cobra Kai. Obviously, Cobra Kai and Miyagi-Do use two completely different styles of karate. The one that myself and Shannon are more familiar with would be along the lines of Cobra Kai. I'm assuming, Carrie, you would be more along the lines of Miyagi-Do.
Well, that would be more my what I would gravitate towards if I were to take up karate, but Aikido is more defensive than both of these. So
right, because and the Miyagi-Do karate is more of a defensive type of karate.
Yeah, but the joke is how do you defeat an Aikidoka, and the punchline is to stop attacking him or her.
Yeah.
That's how you defeat me. You just don't attack me.
So, Shannon,
would
you like to tell a little bit about what style of karate Cobra Kai uses?
Sure. So let's talk a little bit about Tong Sudo. So Tong Sudo is, I don't think this is translated, but what it ends up being is the way of the open hand.
Yeah.
I'm trying to read this and not give my opinions yet. Tong Sudo could be described as a Korean version of karate. It is a striking style of martial arts in that practitioners utilize hand strikes, kicks, and blocks to defend themselves. In addition, jiu-jitsu or Aikido-style wrist grabs are also practiced, known as self-defense moves. Tong Sudo is a style that emphasizes breathing in its forms and practice, no contact or light contact sparring, and the building of character within its participants. It is not enough for a Tong Sudo practitioner to learn the various physical moves within the art. In addition, they must learn about the style's history and demonstrate respect for this and other people. Tong Sudo is known for its kicking artistry. Can attest to pretty much all of this. I was taught... This is why I didn't know until I was today years old when I learned that Cobra Kai was based off Tong Soo Do, because strike first, strike hard, no mercy is not exactly how we were taught martial arts.
Well, that where is, this I entire learned. This entire thing that you just read off is completely aberrant to anything Johnny Lawrence taught his students and his teacher taught him.
It's an Americanized version of Tang Soo Do is what Johnny and Kreese taught.
It's a bastardized version of Tang Soo Do.
So basically, it is very much defense oriented. And the bit about sparring is true. We did have light contact sparring. We actually wore pads. You are supposed to wear pads when you spar for Tong Soo Do. I don't remember ever sparring without pads. And that's mostly for your safety. I mean, we don't, at my dojang, we did not pad the floor. So it was also important that no one get a concussion. Mm. And it's true that we did actually have to demonstrate a knowledge of the history of the art, as well as some history of Korea and some grasp of the language. I remember I had to take written tests for my black belt in order to, like, in addition to the physical test and the running portion, because yes, you had to run a certain amount of miles for your belt. It was 2 for the pretest, 3 for the actual test. And it was kind of like it's like testing your character. It tests like your drive. It tests your determination, because it is like a very much character building kind of thing. They don't just want to teach you self-defense. They want to help mold you into a person who has like good qualities in someone who is testing for their black belt, because obviously you really want to want it, because they give you a lot of tests. Not even just, you know, obviously leading up to your black belt, but for your black belt alone. I mean, I just said 2 written tests, 5 miles total, 2 physical tests, 1 in front of masters from different dojangs, not just your own. So like a big group test. I remember because they partnered me up with a 6-foot-tall man for my knife defense portion, and I could not get him to drop that knife. And they just were laughing at me, and they're like, listen, just it's okay. You did it. Good job. Because I was like a 5'3" monster. But so it's definitely, I watching Cobra Kai, did not see anything that I learned while I was watching it. So again, today years old, November 22nd, 2020, is when I learned that Cobra Kai is partially based on Tong Soo Do. And the kicking, yes, we are known for our kicking. You know who's a famous Tong Soo Do practitioner who's known for his kicks? Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris. He learned his roundhouse kick from the grandmaster of my branch of Tong Soo Do. So, yeah, Walker, Texas Ranger. That's it.
It's true. I mean, and it's... everything you said is true as far as, you know, Cobra Kai, of course, Carrie uses the phrase bastardized. the Tang Soo Do.
Pretty true.
It does have, watching it, there is some Tang Soo Do in there. Like you can't escape it. It's more of it in there than the Miyagi Do will teach. It does utilize, as the description goes, it does utilize hand strikes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hand strikes in there. It does utilize kicks. I can't remember how many freaking kicks I had to learn when I took karate. And the blocks are forceful blocks. They're not just like, it's not like I don't want to say slow motion or movement. It's not like a repel. It's just like, it's a forceful boom, you know, pop your hand out. It's
use your momentum kind of thing.
Everything is done with, I'm gonna kind of steal what Daniel said when he was talking to Robbie, you know, if you're ever gonna punch your boss, it's that 1 inch, make sure you do it right. All the power for Tang Soo Do is in the push, in the force. It's not like using their momentum. It's I'm gonna block, you know, I'm gonna make it hurt that you hit my hand. Kind of a feel. So
right, but And Shannon could probably, I don't know, Shannon, you could probably back me up on this. I mean, at least as far as Tang Soo Do goes, but for in Aikido, at least my organization and most organizations I have dealt with, the part of the point is to build up the self-control so that you aren't breaking people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
break boards, yeah. Not people.
Well, no, not even break, because we
don't. Oh well,
we don't break boards.
Yeah,
we don't break boards. But I mean, Aikido does practice at full speed because we are trained to get out of the way of the attack. But we're not. We're also trained to, you know, not break each other. Because if we break each other, we can't practice anymore.
Well, I think what I said that Mike kind of brushed off a little bit, but the reason why I said you use your momentum is because you in Tung-Sudo, you have follow-up moves, and that's
right.
So yeah. You're not necessarily breaking someone, but mm-hmm. you need to use the force of that motion to
right.
get them away from you. And yeah. I mean, we're taught to fall. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's the first thing
I learned when I started Aikido. You fall to how to fall down.
Right. I mean, I wasn't trying to brush it off. What I was saying was is I know in Aikido,
I couldn't think of the right word. There wasn't a nice way I could think of. So brush it off was the first one my brain picked. Well, I didn't mean to think you were being rude. I just had no idea how to describe it.
It's kind of like what Shannon just said though too. There's a follow-up move. So, like, if I were to do a forearm block, of course, people can't really see because we're on video, but I'm going to make it so it's not as a, hey, I'm going to use it to whip you and move you out of the way. It's going to be a boom. It's going to come straight up. You're going to hit it because mm-hmm. that momentum, but then there's going to be a follow-up strike right after.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not just going to lose my arm to kind of move you around. It's going to go up like a brick wall, and you're going to hit that wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's one of those, and, you know, Cobra Kai had that a little bit. I mean, with the
pitching machine, they never did that at my dojang either.
They never did that at mine, but
well, they threw stuff at us, but they didn't, no, we didn't have a pitching machine.
That's the example I'm talking about. Like, he had to know, get his arms up. He had to get it up forcefully to stop that. And he had to stake it. Mm-hmm. He had to take the hit.
We'll get into that a little more when we start talking about the actual show, because there are a lot of cases of when did these kids' parents sign the waiver type questions I had.
That's true.
Like, it is like fiction.
I realize this is fiction, but I mean this dojo should not exist.
Well, that's
legally.
The thing. I mean, for me, because like I say this a lot, but I say it on purpose. I went to film school, and in film school, they very much teach you how to separate everything.
Yes.
They have to, because otherwise you can't look at things with a critical eye. And so because of that, I have a deep, deep, deep built resistance to trying to make things see where things would come into a problem with reality.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I watch Hallmark movies all Christmas season, and none of them would ever truly happen.
Oh, yeah.
But for me, that's why, like, I can watch this and be like, haha, that's funny. Because I know that's not going to happen in the real
right.
world. I can let that go. So that's why I personally never get mad at that kind of thing. I'd be like, oh, I didn't do that. But I'd never be like, that would... I never, like, let myself get too caught up in it. So I'm just like, haha, I'd never do that. And then just move on.
Yeah. So should we move on to the other style here?
I, you know, I kind of expected this episode is going to take us a little longer. We are covering an entire first freaking season. So, Carrie, what kind of karate style does Miyagi-Do kind of resemble or take traits from?
Okay, it takes traits from Goju-Ryu, which is a hard soft style of karate. Goju karate is generally a stand-up style characterized by both hard closed fist and soft open hand or circular techniques. Many Goju Ryu practitioners feel as if they are martial arts technicians in that they utilize angles to deflect strikes rather than try to meet strength with strength. In addition, Goju Ryu tends to emphasize meeting opponents with the opposite of what they are utilizing. For example, striking the head, a hard part of the body with an open hand, a soft part of the body, or striking the groin, a soft part of the body with a groin kick, which is hard. Beyond this, Goju Ryu Karate is known for teaching breathing techniques to a great extent. It also utilizes some takedowns, throws, and weapons. The basic goal of Goju Ryu Karate is self-defense.
And I will say, you may not have seen a lot of this style in season one, but in season two, when you get to season two, this style, I mean, it is very, very evident as far as the breathing and the deflecting and the movement and the circular motions and the take. It's very, very evident in season two.
Mm-hmm.
So, any thoughts? I just figured that kind of resembled a little bit more of what you kind of practice, Carrie. That's why I kind of had you.
Aikido is mostly throws and pins.
Well, that's what this one is known for: takedowns, throws. Of course, I know you practice with weapons too, and it utilizes a lot of. I thought it because it utilizes a lot of. Deflecting and moving people out of the way, moving away from the attack.
Well, moving away from the attack, yes, but it's more of redirecting the energy, or if someone wants to go that way, we'll just like let them keep going that way, but we might, you know, grab their collar on the way past or something like that.
Okay. All right. All right, so here's how we're going to set up the next part. All right, so we're going to all kind of give some overall thoughts over the entire season, what we thought about the season, and then we're going to kind of zone in a little bit on. We're going to talk about our favorite character, our least favorite character. Of course, I have a couple of runner-ups from that one. And then we're going to give our favorite episode from this season, and then our top five moments we're going to kind of hit round robin. So before we get into all that, should we let Carrie go ahead and just let them have
yeah,
it?
Yeah, just let her go
thoughts.
First. Yeah, let
Carrie
her,
just
with the just understanding go. With the understanding of what Shannon was talking about with regard to film school, because like I said, the lack of dojo etiquette in this first season makes me twitchy. Get your shoes off the mat. No hats in the dojo. No food in the dojo. No drinks in the dojo. No smoking in the dojo. We go an entire season, and I only see someone bow on or off the mat once. If you only have one student, you should not. Your students are not your slaves. You should. If Johnny should be helping Miguel set up the dojo, not just sitting in the back drinking.
He's teaching.
That's not teaching. He's just sitting in the back. He's sitting in the back drinking beer. Johnny actually has no business training anyone, especially children. He's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Gary just going out on this guy.
The final thing I'm going to say is that, you know, any reason someone gets back into training should be a good reason. That said, getting back into training just to get back at someone for something that happened almost 40 years ago feels wrong. That feels like a very, very wrong motivation to me.
But maybe it was the priming factor that he needed to, because obviously the path he was going down was not great for him.
He needed discipline in his life again.
Right.
And that was a time in his life where, for better or for worse, he had discipline. And obviously it was worse.
And then you're watching, and then he's watching Iron Eagle, and
oh Chappie, my god, all every like, day how, watching Iron Eagle every how, day.
How it's, the H E double hockey sticks did Johnny Lawrence manage to survive through to the year 2000? You let alone into the year 2017.
But,
seriously, but, what the bloody heck? How has he managed to survive this long without knowing anything that's gone on in the past 30 years?
He knew it was going on. He was just kind of going through it. He was kind of going through the motions. But what's wrong with
you? Haven't met my father.
What's wrong with Iron Eagle?
My father is exactly the same as Johnny. Like, he has a vague idea of what things are, but he only got an iPhone because his work made him get a smartphone. Otherwise, so that man would still have a flip phone. He's fine, but I have to help him every day. This is why I still live at home, because my dad needs me to help him with his phone. He doesn't use any social media, doesn't know how any of it works. He prefers to watch the same old movies all the time. He's like from anywhere from the 50s all the way up to the 90s. Those are his happy place. He does drive updated cars and stuff, but you know, he's still someone who doesn't feel like he doesn't need to know all of these new things because he doesn't use them. But I mean, also Johnny's kind of like that stereotypical, I mean, it's a tropey show. The idea is this is supposed to emulate the 80s kind of aesthetic of stories. And he is a man living in his glory days. He drives the Firebird also because he can't afford a better car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he only watches like, 80s movies.
And he thinks it's like the hottest thing in the world when he's driving down the road in it. Take care of her. She's a classic.
Like,
he's like a
directionless version of my father.
Okay.
And younger too, because my dad is much older than Johnny.
Daniel did have to teach him what Facebook was because he never heard of Facebook.
That's true. He did. I mean, my dad was like, I don't know what Facebook is. I was like, first of all, that's a lie.
It gets so much better in season two. My goodness. It gets so much better in season two with Johnny and technology. It's going to make, as soon as Shannon sees the episode I'm talking about, I can see her screaming in the chat and Discord. She's going to laugh. And I'm going to see that emoji.
I'm probably
going to
die inside too. And know exactly. Same time.
I'm already dying inside due to some of this. Like seriously. I get what you're saying, Shannon, but there's a pettiness to both Johnny and Daniel.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you guys a story. Like, I attended a World Tai Chi Day festival several years ago, and we had someone with us who spoke Chinese. Two of the Sifus basically used their school's demonstrations to basically get up there. The Sifus would get while their students were demonstrating. The Sifu would get up there and talk crap about the rival Sifu. And then the other Sifu would get up and do the same thing in Chinese. We had someone translating it for us. And that is what this whole thing between Johnny and Daniel smacked up to me. It was just like, you don't need students for this. You two spar, fight it out amongst yourselves.
They were going to.
Don't worry, I got some thoughts on Daniel. And his wife. It's coming a little bit later. It's coming.
Daniel's become. I mean, he gets better, but Daniel's become a bit of a jackass.
Yes. We'll get.
Success doesn't make everyone a better person.
No. But that's the thing.
Mr. Miyagi's little tree store. You know that one didn't work very well.
But see, that's the thing. My instructors have always said martial arts is supposed to teach you how to be a better human. It's supposed to teach you how to be respectful, supposed to teach you good manners. That is definitely not coming from one of the dojos we are dealing with here. And it's nice that Johnny is instilling confidence in people, but he's also turning his students into the very thing that he beat the crap out of in the first episode.
But
I do have something to say to that later too in my favorite moments.
But I will say Daniel's problem with the reason he's having issues is because he lost that balance that he was talking to Robbie about. Because that's why he went and cleaned out his own dojo at his house, because he needed a place, because he completely cluttered his life up. And I was like, that was a representation of what was going on in his life. Mm-hmm. He had everything in the way and he had forgotten how to find balance and refocus. So that was a great visual imagery of what was going on in Daniel's mind at the time. By the way, I appreciate him going to see Mr. Miyagi's grave, although I wish we still had him around in this show. That would have been freaking amazing.
Well, Pat Morita died 5 years after, 6 years before Mr. Miyagi was supposed to have died. So
I know. I hated it. I hated it. Trust me. But Johnny, as much as people crap over Johnny, I do think Johnny grew quite a bit in this season. Like, he realized, I know it took him all the way to the tournament, but he realized he was actually more balanced to me in the first season than Daniel was. And I know a lot of people may disagree, but if you look at Johnny outside of when he was peeing on his new vehicle's license plate with LaRusso Auto Group on it while his dojo kid was picking up a gallon of milk from the mini mart. And outside of that, Miguel and Carmen really kind of, I do that hand gesture all the time, but kind of really pushed the bad stuff down and brought a lot of good Johnny out.
Yeah,
and really helped balance him. And when he lost that, when he saw Robbie, of course, that's what sent him over.
But also he's instilling a lot of the attitude. It's like, yeah, towards the very end of the season, he realized that he had basically taken all of the bad habits of his teacher and started to instill them in his students. And you see, and this is actually more like the beginning of season two, but you see him coming back from that, especially when Kreese shows up at the end of season one, and you suddenly go, oh crap. Yeah, he basically became his teacher there. Which, by the way, I know he thought his teacher was dead, but, and I know this again is another entertainment industry thing. It's not, but the correct thing would have been to ask permission from someone who had an association with the original Cobra Kai before starting up a new branch of Cobra Kai.
But here's the thing. Kreese didn't own Cobra Kai.
No. So Johnny should have
found... Terry Silver. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Did I cut out? Okay. I kind of forgot to cut out. It was Terry Silver that owned Cobra Kai.
Was he still around?
That's the thing.
They mentioned him, but they didn't, yeah.
They mentioned him in season one when he was trying to get it reinstated to the All-Valley Tournament in episode 7. They mentioned that it was John Kreese, Terry Silver, and Mike Barnes, which was movie number 3.
3 or 4, yeah.
I think it was Karate Kid 3, because number 4 is one we don't talk about. That's the one with Hilary Swank. We don't talk about that one.
Terrible.
So Terry Silver would have been a person, but we don't know anything about Terry Silver. The only clue people have tried to associate Terry Silver, and as a theory going around, is that Carmen was married to a very rich, wealthy man and had to leave him because he was not a good person, but had a lot of money, and that'd be Miguel's dad. The only reason we can associate that is because we knew Terry Silver was a very rich, wealthy man in the Karate Kid 3. So a lot of people are trying to bridge it. Now, you don't hear anything about Terry Silver in season 2, I can tell you that now. But
what about the third guy? The third guy, Mike Barnes?
He wasn't mentioned in the banishment either.
Right. That's it. As far as I know, you don't see any of them in season 2. Spoiler warning. We don't know what season 3 is. I mean, if you've seen the teaser, you know vaguely what's going to happen in season 3. You know where Daniel's going to go in season 3. I have an idea of who he's going to meet in season 3. I have an idea of, we can talk about this when we get to the end of season 2. Just remind me. I have an idea of who's going to show up in season 3 based on a certain predicament in season 2, because Shannon, you haven't seen season 2 yet, have you?
No, because I want to watch it closer to recording, so I don't forget anything.
I stopped 2 episodes into season 2 just because I wanted to make sure it was fresh in my mind when we started recording that.
There are some hints that you're going to get in season one that when season two happens, you could see them going that route, but they may not. But you could see them going that route. Little things that you just don't think of. So when you start watching season two, when you finish season two, ding me in Discord. Because there's a thing that was said in season one that has my theory for season three, what's going to end up happening. So just keep that. But you have to finish the whole season first. But back to this season, season one.
Yeah.
Can we, as much as we hate Johnny, we have to appreciate the fact that the man eats fried bologna.
Okay.
But come on. I like fried bologna.
Well, here we have something called pork roll, which is similar, but it's not... It's like spiced inside. It's different than bologna, but we fry it. And at first I got really excited because I thought he was having pork roll. But then I was like, no, that can't be pork roll. He's on the West Coast. That's bologna.
Yeah. And he's a Valley kid like I am. So that's not something I'm aware of being any kind of tradition. I did appreciate that, you know, you saw a lot of, oh, hey, I've been through that neighborhood. I kind of know where the Cobra Kai dojo is based on general general geography.
I will say, as much as everybody does hate Johnny, the TV lady on the wrong wall, y'all, I'm just telling you what.
I was mad.
Y'all, that lady, oh my goodness.
I work retail, and I deal with people like that every day.
I'll bet.
It's why terrible.
I don't work retail anymore.
I do love the 80s music throughout. I'm a huge fan.
I do too.
I respected that. They stayed true to their Karate Kid feel, and I loved that. I really do. So, did I get lost again?
No, you're good.
The score is absolutely unbelievable for the show. I find myself listening to Cobra Kai season one and two on Spotify. I have those two albums combined in a playlist, and I listen to it all the time. I think it's just it's epically good. The ups and downs. And
that time we did lose you.
Okay. And Kyler is typically the straight up popular guy. I mean, that's just, that's who he is.
That entire awesome. Clique is just like, oh, typical. Yeah, I knew of people like that in high school. Mm-hmm. I avoided people like that in high school.
Shannon is biting her tongue right now because I don't know why. There's somebody she wants to go off on.
Who?
One of the people in that clique.
Oh, I mean, I hate them all.
Yeah.
I hate them all. But yeah, no, I'll get into that when it's time.
So, all right, so let's talk about it then. Any more thoughts about this, about the overall of the season before we kind of get into some favorites?
I didn't get to give my points.
Go for it.
Shannon, give your points.
All right. Well, anyway.
I took up a lot of airtime complaining about stuff.
It's fine. I'm pretty good at going fast through these kinds of things. I loved this show because it felt like I was watching like an 80s show, but through the lens of like now, because it had like a lot of the same tropes and story beats and the music and everything else. So I thought that was pretty cool, especially when I was raised on stuff like that. The Century branded stuff made me scream. That took me back. I remember Century everything. I also screamed when I heard the song Sirius start. Sirius as in like the stars. Because that was a song we frequently ran to when I was in karate and war flashbacks. Every time I hear it, I think about running and I hate it. When I started making jokes in episode 7, when Johnny kept saying like Kreese was dead, and so I was making all these jokes like, ah, he's off teaching Koala Kai, and like I was sending my friend all these texts about Koala Kai, and then, you know, at the end when he showed up, she was like, it took everything in me not to tell you. And so I thought it was hysterical because I couldn't tell if he was like a drunk hallucination or not for a good minute. I thought maybe he was imagining him.
Well, Johnny does drink like all the time. Like seriously, that's another issue I have with him teaching children is like he's constantly drunk. He cannot be responsible for these kids.
So I thought that was great. And then of course, you know, when I said there he is, my friend texted me, he's here to he's come to preach to Johnny the ways of Koala Kai. So the other running joke me and my friend have, and I was texting her about it, this all could have been avoided. Like this whole show, the running theme is this could have been avoided if they would have just communicated. I thought, you know, that was fun. And the MVPs, I appreciated the flashbacks because I forgot to watch Karate Kid. But I still retained most of my information, especially because of the flashbacks. And Abuela, or Yaya, she's MVP.
Come on.
MVP forever, and Aisha's my girl.
All right.
I don't know. Aisha started out being my girl, and then her attitude towards the end of the season is just like, because...
I wish I could tell y'all about season 2.
We're getting there. But seriously, like I said, you know, Johnny basically turned all of these, you know, nerdy kids into the exact people who used to beat them up. And
I feel like she ended differently though, because
she did end differently than say Hawk
or Miguel.
Miguel was one of my favorite characters up until like episode 7 or 8 when the switch gets flipped and he's suddenly, you know, a complete thing I'm not going to say so Mike doesn't have to bleep it. and you see him trying to not be that, but you also see that he's kind of being encouraged by his teacher to be exactly what he's turning into. By the way, I have heard people, especially talking about, you know, the original Karate Kid movie, about, you know, the whole montage thing, and then Daniel gets his black belt. I just want to say that, at least according to my teacher, you are a black belt whenever your teacher tells you you're a black belt. You don't really get a say in that. And based on how much Miguel was training up until the point of that tournament, it is entirely possible for someone to get a black belt in that amount of time, depending on how much training you're doing.
Oh, I believe it. You know, kind of going back to what you guys said, you know, or maybe what Carrie was saying about what Johnny had turned these kids into. As bad as it was, these kids needed that. These kids needed, as bad as the Cobra Kai lessons are, these kids needed that self-confidence boost. Now,
I mean, as bad as Hawk is, the lesson of, like, taking control of the narrative, I mean, that's perfect. Not a bad lesson. That's
it's really
not necessarily
not,
a bad lesson.
Even though we know deep down he's still insecure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
he
season
is.
Two,
Have
baby.
Have you seen
Come
his
on.
Tattoo? Come
season
on.
2, baby. Come on. Oh,
no, no season 2. Banned.
I know.
Banned.
Oh. Season 2 talk is banned until
so,
next
I know
time.
That. I know that's why I'm not talking about season 2 yet.
My cat just did like a drift around the basement. I don't know what that was about, but I don't think she liked that we were yelling banned.
But I do think that his style was good, and in fact that these kids needed that. Yes, some did take it way out there, and he realized his mistake at the end, and hopefully he'll course correct that. Aisha, all right, it does not surprise me that Aisha turned out the way she did at the tournament, because if you think about it, her only friend and Samantha, and Sam just pretty much runs her off. Just straight up ignores her. The girls that are straight up cyberbullying her, they and even bullying her, they are just She's just standing there with them. Now, she's not laughing, but she's being associated with them, but she's not saying anything, which is just as bad as doing it yourself. So it didn't surprise me that Aisha got pushed into Cobra Kai, and she excelled.
Oh, yeah.
In that. But I did like the way that they did kind of reconcile after Aisha lost.
I did, too.
So...
Even though she has hollow bones.
Even though she has hollow bones.
Wow. Maybe she should eat some fluoride. I would
fluoride?
So...
You mean calcium?
Nice calcium.
Fluoride.
I said sodium chloride,
There were so many times.
Halloween costume they were supposed to go together.
Oh my god.
That's why sodium I said chloride. Sodium chloride.
I thought you were talking about making her bones less hollow.
I understand that, but I was just calling out their costume they were supposed to have to wear together.
There were so many times when I just wanted to jump into the television and put Johnny in an arm lock. Like, what do you say about hollow bones? Seriously, you want me to take this off? Like, bad Carrie. Bad. You have to use your powers for good.
Calcium. Drink some milk. All right.
He also has this like flagrant disregard for, you know, people's actual ailments. Like, you know, someone who has asthma is not going to not have asthma.
I must say, even as bad as that was, I laughed at that scene.
Miguel didn't even do anything about it. He's like, all right, yeah, go ahead and smash my inhaler. That's fine.
But he's, I don't care about your kids', you know, asthma or your peanut allergies. It's just
and you know what? He will if the kid goes into anaphylactic shock on
it's
the
front, a, on it's a show.
I know. like seriously.
He's probably not gonna get in trouble for that because he's probably not gonna have peanuts in the dojo anyway.
No, because all he has is beer and
liquor. Yeah.
The funniest thing though, I'm sorry though, the funniest, as bad as it is, the funniest scenes to me was when he had all those new recruits and he's just.
We lost you.
We lost you again.
Oh. Okay, there. So the funniest thing to me is still when he's walking through the lines of all the new recruits halfway through after Miguel's lunchroom scene goes viral, and he's just looking at everybody, and he's just raking the kids, especially Dimitri. Please, he let him rake Dimitri some more. I'm okay with that. But like when he looks at Eli for the first time or Hawk, and he just says, "Dude, what is on your lip?" And I mean, just straight pushes him, and Eli just leaves. But you know what, though? As bad as it was, I'm not saying it's okay to bully because it's not. But that's what that kid needed to flip the script. To take control of his narrative. It's bad. I get it. I'm trying.
The delivery is less than savory, but the message is as good as a fresh hot pizza.
Thank you.
The delivery man just sucks.
Yes. I do not condone bullying. But he needed the message of that to go take control of his own life.
Yeah, but there has to have been a better way of delivering that.
Clearly not, because that is the way he delivered it.
And that is the way Hawk took it, and Hawk came back as Hawk.
Like, we can't, it's, the thing is that it makes sense for his character, so it's hard
it does,
for me
it does
to
make,
criticize
it. Does make sense
it does.
For his, it does make sense for his character, but I...
In a real-world setting,
know,
it doesn't work. We
no,
know.
No, and I know from first-hand experience that it is possible to do that kind of thing from a place of kindness. And respect, and you know, understanding, and saying, "Look, you are. This is when you're in the dojo. You are going to be ready to practice, or you're not going to be in class. And I've seen it with my teacher countless times.
Yeah, that's well and fine if we're talking about an actual karate teacher in real life. See, this is a great conversation if this man was doing this right now in real time as a real person. This is a great conversation for that.
Right.
Obviously, us being separated from fiction know this man is inappropriate and bad, and we would not want him teaching our kids.
No, absolutely. No.
But unfortunately, it is entertainment.
That and we will that watch is, and absorb.
I understand.
Well, no, I don't mean it that way. I don't mean it that way, Mike. That's not always entertaining to watch kids get bullied by a grown. Can That's I say the A word here? A grown A man. We know. That's
I've
not
said,
exactly.
I've said grown ass man before, so you can say grown ass man.
He a grown ass man, and he ain't got no place talking to kids like this. But no. That's not funny. But. It fits
I'm not
his character.
At what he's calling them.
I know, but I'm saying you. No. I said entertainment, as in the show is fiction because it's entertainment. And you said, "Yeah, it's funny." Like, no, that's not what I meant, Mike.
No, it's not funny. It's not meant to be funny.
That's not what I meant
by entertainment, Mike.
Oh my goodness.
You're supposed to be criticizing Johnny in that moment, but at the same time, we can't fix it. So saying there are nicer ways to deliver it, it means nothing to him. He's not real.
No, he's not real. No. Johnny Lawrence is not a real person. I've been blessed to know very few people in Aikido who are that much of a jackass. And I tend to not practice with them because they tend to not pay attention to who it is they're training with.
And again, like you said, in real life, criticize the crap out of him.
Oh yeah.
100% on an entertainment value, it was fun to watch.
No, it really wasn't fun to watch.
I'm talking about it was fun to watch in the fact that you saw how the characters were developing and being pushed in that direction. Like you saw when Dimitri came out and started talking to him or talking to Johnny, and you saw like Miguel's face, like, oh crap. Like you knew what was about to happen to Dimitri. And then you saw Hawk get put down to the point that he went out and he completely redid his life and said, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to do something about it. Of course, then Johnny had them all get in line and Aisha punched them all in the face to learn how to take a hit because they were a bunch of flinchers.
I don't remember doing that either.
I don't remember that either.
Me neither.
I don't remember doing that.
So, no, I do not condone bullying at all. Understand that now from the podcast. I do not condone bullying.
My teacher actually yelled at me the one time I attacked a newbie too fast. So, you know.
I mean, have any of y'all ever been chased by dogs in a junkyard to learn karate?
No.
No.
That couldn't happen to me.
Let me know because that's not something my teacher would do.
Yes. So
not standard. He's like I don't know if anyone here has watched John Mulaney, but he's like Detective Bittenbinder, Street Smarts.
Oh dear.
No.
Street Smarts. Run from dogs. Street Smarts. Can't learn in a classroom.
Don't
set the dogs loose. Street Smarts.
Oh dear.
Obviously, I don't think that this is good. If a real teacher did this, this would be bad. But it's like,
no,
you know, it's funny.
No, like
it's funny for me to be like, look at this man. He's horrible at teaching.
Thank you. That's my point.
He is horrible at teaching. Like I said, if this were the real world, he's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, he wouldn't have made through his first class before he got.
No, he wouldn't have even gotten a business license, dude.
Oh, man. He was terrible. All right. So is there anything else that we want to talk about before we move on? Okay. So, by the way, I did like the callback. I don't know if it's anybody's notes, but I did like the callback to I can't remember now. Funland.
Oh, yeah.
From Karate Kid, that was good because Johnny said this is where I used to take all the babes when I was in high school.
All the babes.
So, all right, favorite character from season one. Let's talk about our favorite character from season one. Carrie, who is your favorite character?
Robbie is definitely one of my favorites. Sam, once she dumps the popular girls, is on the list. And Miguel, up until about season seven, up until about episode 7 or 8, when his attitude completely flips and he really starts emulating Johnny way too much.
Yep. Shannon, what about you? Your favorite character from this season?
I pick Sam LaRusso, and I know that seems like a wild card, but hear me out. She's got a really interesting, not straightforward arc. And I like where it begins with her being bad and realizing it was bad and trying to make amends and making new friends and, you know, picking her line in the sand and, you know, drawing that line and sticking to it, kicking some boy butt. And at the end, apologizing for her actions like an adult, one of the only characters to actually communicate in this show. Good yes. for her. And then at the end, seeing her, like, you know, doing karate again after being, like, egged into it all season. Like, oh, you gonna do it again? Oh, we'd love to see you out here. Like, that moment with her and Aisha was really nice. How she apologized and Aisha's like, it would be nice to, you know, have you out here with us. Because it was a lot of boys. And, like, to have it end with her, like, you know, getting back into the dojo. And I just thought she Agreed. Had a nice arc. She had a really nice arc. And, like, there were moments where I was getting annoyed with her, but that's every character had one of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't hold it against her if everybody was doing it. But I thought she had a really nice arc. And I can't wait to see where it goes in season 2.
I agree. And again, I realize I'm speaking from real world experience here, but I have seen that with my teacher's daughter. When I first met my teacher and her family, Aria was still training. She was 5 and she would train for a while, and then she got bored of it and went away, and then she would come back. She came back a few years later, started training again. And just before she got sick, Aria had started training again, and that was. So it is a bit of a cycle. Like, sometimes the kids fall out of it and then they get back in. You know, the teacher's kid won't always be the thing that they gravitate to. But yeah, that kind of made me miss Aria a bit. So, because yeah. I was looking forward to playing with Aria at some point again, and that's not gonna happen. So anyway.
My favorite character throughout season 1 is kind of one that I don't think gets a lot of credit in season 1, but that's Amanda LaRusso. I think I could have easily gone with Johnny or you know, based on his character growth through the season 1 from where he was at the beginning of the season. But Amanda LaRusso, I mean, it's just, she is the voice of reason in the entire show. Like, she is the one who, when Johnny and Daniel are about to fight in the middle of, right by the pool, she just comes out and says, so this is what we're going to do on Saturday morning, huh? I really don't want to get blood on the patio. Kid, why don't you just go sit in there and have breakfast?
Okay.
I mean, no, hang on a second. And then when Daniel and Sam are upset about everything that comes on, she walks in the living room, looks at him and says, so this is the plan for the whole day? Because I was thinking we could swing by at the DMV or maybe a funeral, put a little pep in our step. So your boyfriend turned out to be a jerk, and your boyfriend turned out to be the son of your mortal enemy. I mean, she's just her lines are just, I love.
She's just sick of all of them.
I love her character. I mean, she's just a great character to me to have on the show. And
okay,
just her little, even when she doesn't say anything, but with her facial expressions, she's saying something. Like when she kind of looks at Johnny and gives him a look, or looks at Robbie and just gives him a look, like, you know what she's saying. And it's just, I love Amanda LaRusso's character.
Okay, you're kind of winning me over a bit, but at the same time, she basically lets her son walk all over all of them and, like, like, seriously, my parents would have not, both of my parents would have knocked Anthony into next week. Or
I did like when Daniel took his PS Vita and he goes, Alexa, order a PS Vita. He's Alexa, parental override. PS Vita ordered. I'm like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, the kid would have been locked out of Amazon for like the rest of his natural life.
Yeah. All right. Least favorite characters, Shannon.
Anthony LaRusso.
Yes,
for sure. I mean, not only is he spoiled, he's just so rude and annoying, and he drives me nuts. Like, I get, my parents would never stand for that. I mean, they do. They don't care now because we're adults, and you know, we're a little out of pocket sometimes. But like, we would never be like that. I mean, maybe that's because we were always firmly middle class and Alexa did not exist when I was a child.
Yep.
So I couldn't do
things like that.
You
have any idea how many times we're going to set off everyone's echoes now?
Oh, God, yeah.
Alexa,
sorry.
Alexa.
So Mike. I just, you know, I can't stand him. Like, when I had to think about least favorite characters, I always have a hard time choosing least favorite characters. But it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Obviously the bullies, specifically Kyler and Yasmin. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously Kyler was great once he was afraid of everyone.
Yes.
I thought that was hysterical.
Yeah.
Like, anytime he saw Sam, well, I mean, he was still a bully to Sam, but obviously he realized, you know, that's probably not going to be a good idea for much longer. But every time he saw Miguel, and he's like, you know what? Let's not have a party here. Can we have a party somewhere else? Let's go have a party somewhere else. I think there's a great spot that, like, I thought that was hysterical. And also, I think Yasmin is worse of a bully. Girl bullies are fascinating. They are terrible. They are, I try not to genderize bullying because all bullying is obviously bad, but the tactics and the targets are different.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because I could tell you, most people talk about how boys would bully girls a lot, but like I was never bullied by boys in high school. They all were actually quite nice to me, which I thought was strange, but like a lot of them will still check in on me as an adult, and I'm like, wow. Wow. Like, even the popular kids were, like, really nice to me, like, the guys. And I'm like, I never understood that. But I think it's because we all went to school together. So, like, we'd known each other for a long time. But the girls. I had my friends would bully me at parties we were at together. Like, it's almost as if that doesn't matter. If they, I snore at night because I have breathing issues. And I would wake up at sleepovers to these girls laughing at me and making fun of me. One time at one of these parties, though, a drunk guy, I heard him like, hey, I just met her tonight and she's nice. You don't talk about her like that. I thought it was one of the funniest moments of my life. But there's just something different about the tactics and the targets that make it a little more cutting. So the fact that, I mean, we didn't have social media bullying at the same level when I was in high school. Like, we had some. Like, I had a Facebook hate group made about me, but like Snapchat wasn't what it is today. So we weren't doing video bullies like that. And certainly not sending them to the whole school. That wasn't something that happened where I was too. Like, that wasn't just something that happened. But I guess the way that social media gravitates towards women is probably part of that. But she was just evil. That
she was the worst.
She was the worst. Like, how she talked about the homeless lady, too. Like, she was just horrible.
It's okay. Aisha took care of her.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, them. Anthony LaRusso, Kyler, and Yasmin.
All right. Carrie, who is your least favorite character?
Anthony needs like, 50,000 laps around the dojo. He needs to go, like, 80 rounds with his sister. And need some respect drilled into him, like stat. Also, Hawk. I get that he was pushed a little too far, but as soon as that switch flipped, he just became the worst. So wrong.
He reminds me of I can't remember his name.
He's definitely overcompensating.
He reminds me of one of Johnny's friends, from the Karate Kid movie. That for the first one that said get him a body bag. I can't remember his name now. That's who Hawk reminds
These
me of.
These 80s boys.
So, anyways. So my least favorite character is Daniel LaRusso in season one.
Valid.
I think he's spoiled. I think he just lost balance, in his own life. I think he's very petty, and I think Amanda calls him out on that so much, and I appreciated that. It just was Daniel. I feel like it's not. I don't feel like it's Johnny that hasn't moved on from 34 years ago. It's Daniel.
I mean, that's valid because he's still using his victory and his background to, like, sell cars. Meanwhile, right. Johnny's not really using his image to do anything. He's just depressed fixing things.
All Johnny knows is Cobra Kai karate. So he figures, I'll open up karate, Cobra Kai karate, because that's what I know. This will be my business because, as Chappie said in Iron Eagle, God doesn't give us gifts he doesn't expect us to use. I have this. I'm going to use it. And this is what I'm good at. Johnny's the one who started this entire, not Johnny, Daniel's one who started this entire thing. Okay, Cobra Kai's back in the valley. Maybe 34 years later, I haven't seen Johnny in 34 years. Maybe something's different. Maybe he's changed. But instead it's, no, I got to raise the rent to kill this guy's business.
Yeah, that was a big yikes from me, dog.
So
yikes Daniel on trikes.
Absolutely did not like. Runners up, Dimitri. Oh my God, I can't stand Dimitri. He was definitely a runner up. And Robbie's mom. Definitely a runner's up.
Here's the thing. The only reason why I didn't put her on there is because they always make any character named Shannon a really bad person. And I didn't want to lean into that because it hurts my feelings, because I would like a major Shannon character on something who isn't a word. But alas, they don't. So she's damaged. She's a little messed up, but I won't let myself say she's my least favorite character because that'll hurt my heart.
That's why she's a runner-up for me. I just didn't like the way that she constantly pushed Robbie away. And that's what that's what sent Robbie that way. That's what her actions that would bother me more than anything. But Daniel is definitely the least favorite. All right. Favorite episode?
All Valley.
Episode 7 for me, All Valley.
I don't necessarily have a favorite episode. I thought they were all really good. I did like the
Carrie was too angry to call any episode.
Carrie's favorite episode was episode 10 because it was the last one.
I wasn't angry. No. Okay. No, guys. I wasn't angry. I was just like, I was just marveling. As you said, Mike, I was marveling at the just sheer pettiness of these two grown adults using two grown ass men using children to sell disputes and basically stroke each other's egos. In the meantime, it's like martial arts is supposed to teach respect and humbleness and how to be a decent human being, and neither of them are that.
They're funny.
I know.
The Karate Men.
The Karate Men.
The alternate title for Cobra Kai.
I did like All Valley, though. I thought it was really cool to see Johnny get a win and control his temper, and I think it was cool to see Miguel get a win at Funland again, because they're both when I who's the man you're the man I love
that's in my scene. Favorite moments. I can't wait to talk about that.
Yes. All right, so we're gonna so I know we're kind of running a little long, so let's kind of round robin our top five moments and see where we at. So I'll go ahead and just start it off. one of my first top five moments is Daniel walking into the Cobra Kai dojo to confront Johnny in episode two.
Trailer shot.
Yeah, trailer shot, definitely.
Me and my friends love to call out trailer shots because he's a trailer editor. So anytime we see a trailer shot.
But well, I'm not talking about that shot itself. I'm talking about the
confrontation
that Daniel walks in and starts the fight with Johnny in episode two. So that was mine. Carrie, what about you?
The first fight between Miguel and the bullies.
When he gets beat up?
No, before he gets beat up, when he starts to defend himself, but then he doesn't last very long, but still he's, you know, that one and the other lunch fight are just like, okay, we see that he's trying to do the decent thing and then things start to go sideways after that.
Yeah. Shannon, what about you?
Danny teaching Robbie how to make a fist, because that's exactly how I was taught how to make a fist when I was a kid.
Yep. All your powers in that 1 inch, right?
Well,
there.
You gotta tuck your thumb under because you could break your thumb. Like, I just watched that and I just got little nostalgia memories for when I was a kid, and they would teach you how to make a fist when you're first starting.
See, I was told not to tuck your thumb under because that's
how you break your thumb. I meant like this, but you're supposed to keep it under your finger. Yeah, under your hand.
Oh, okay.
Like, not like this, because, like, kids, you know, when you're little, you go like this or whatever. So they would teach you, you curl your fingers, tuck your thumb under your fist, not in your hand, under your fist.
Okay. Yeah. You see, the other thing is, like we, in Aikido, our punches are supposed to mimic, like, a knife stab. So we actually punch with our middle knuckle, which can hurt a lot.
Yeah, and if you watch Johnny and the rest of the Cobra Kai's when they fight too, that's the style fist that you see too. You see like the knuckle sticking out too.
Yeah,
you don't see like a firm fist like that one. So
yeah.
The second one for me is I enjoyed watching Johnny eating a burger in the burger joint and watching the father and son. I think that's kind of a moment that he wishes that he would have done things differently with Robbie, and he's going to change and almost treat Miguel.
He's trying to.
And he's going to try to treat Miguel like a son and really try to instill something into him. So that was a good scene for me. What about you, Carrie?
The second fight between Miguel and the lunch crowd. That was a really good, well done fight. I think it did go on a bit too long, but he's still learning how to fight, so he hasn't quite learned how to just, you know, take people out of commission in a kind way but make it so that they can't keep fighting. But yeah, it was a good several minutes of fight choreography.
It was good. Shannon, you got another one?
Yeah, I tied these two together. I had the I'm the man and the committee meeting. For the same reason that you mentioned All Valley was your favorite episode, I was really pleased with Johnny that not only did he keep his temper, but he gave a very good speech to the point. I think my favorite part was when he called the kids like losers or something, and then he said they're unique. I thought that was the funniest thing. Like, I thought that was the greatest thing because he was trying. Like, he realized that, no, he does think these kids are different and special, but he doesn't like use those kinds of words. So I thought that was hysterical. But the I'm the man scene, I thought that was so great when he comes in and he goes, who's the man? And Johnny's like, I'm the man. Wait, you're the man too? Tell me you're the man. He's like, I'm the man. I just thought that was so cute. That was just cute, so nice and like very positive. And that was one of the most affirming moments Johnny had had all season, where he's like giving people like praise and stuff. I thought it was just so genuine and nice, and it made me feel good.
Yes. Good. Another one for me, of course, lunchroom fight scene was another one that I had as well. But the LaRusso family dinner fight, come on. I love watching Amanda and John and Daniel's mom go at it. That's so funny.
Oh, Lucille. Lucille.
Because we all have been at one of those family dinners. But it is just, you know what? You know, see, if you want me to go there, I will go make whatever you want me to make right now. You just tell me oh, it's so good. So that was one of my favorite scenes in the movie as well. Carrie, what about you? You got a third one?
Yeah, when Samantha takes Miguel down at the end of their non-date, that was just like,
that was good.
Okay,
surprise.
Okay. Yeah, the surprise. She actually knows what she's doing, and and the body doesn't forget those things. No. So, good job, Sam.
Oh yeah,
that was good.
All right, what you got, Shannon?
This was something I hinted at earlier, but when Johnny realizes what's happening at the finals and he tries to talk Miguel down, and you can see he's visibly distraught, and not just because it's his son, because he realizes, like, he can see in Danny's face and everything, and you know, he's flashing back to how angry he was, and like he's realizing how wrong it is, and he tries to get Miguel to stop. And he tries to stop the fight, but Miguel is like too far gone in his own anger, just like Johnny was. But what was different with Johnny was he actually tried to stop it rather than egging the kid on. And that was a huge moment for Johnny. Like, absolutely huge. Like, all season we saw him egging these kids on, telling them to fight, strike hard, no mercy. And then he's realizing what it's turning this kid that he tried to take under his wing into, and that it is the worst thing that it turned him into, and it led him down this bad road. And he's realizing now that, oh my God, what have I done? I need to try and stop it. And unfortunately, it was too late.
Yeah.
kind of the last one I had, because lunchroom fights was already mentioned, is Daniel and Johnny's car ride. That whole
bro date.
That whole connecting moment, drinking in the bar, talking about Allie.
Whole thing up until the point where they walk into the dojo and Robbie's there. It's just like, oh, we just killed the mood.
We killed the boy date.
Well, we just killed the date. They were too happy together. So you knew something was going to happen.
Well, and that's kind of the tragedy of this entire series so far, is that as soon as you think that one of the two, again, grown-ass men, are going to have a shift in perspective, something happens that sets one of them off, and then we're back to square one, and it's just like, okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Dudes, just get over it already.
Yep. So, that was all mine. Carrie, what else do you have?
The match between Hawk and Robbie, that was a really good match. I like that he managed to figure out that technique on his own without Daniel's help.
I like that he did those last two
matches one-handed. Mm-hmm. And that's just like, I've done something similar to that. So yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Shannon?
My last two, I got obviously Danny coaching against Johnny in the finals. Big moment. That commentator, the guy from the committee, was so into it. He was so hyped. You'd think Danny LaRusso was a rock star or something. Like, he's an under 18 karate champion from the 80s, my guy. Like, it's okay. It's okay.
Blue Max Gold Fist.
He was so funny.
I mean, okay, so this is the kind of nostalgia I would expect from something that was happening in Burbank. It's not the kind of nostalgia I would expect from something that happened within the greater San Fernando Valley.
Look, like, it's because all they have is the karate tournament, Carrie.
That's right.
But this fictional valley.
I understand that, but the San Fernando Valley is a pretty big place. No one really cares about this crap.
Apparently, like, that's what I always thought was so funny about the Karate Kid, right? That, like, the San Fernando Valley was just filled with karate kids, that we had this big tournament that was the cultural event of the year. Like, I think it's
really
the funniest thing in the world.
No,
that's the most 80s
really,
thing you could make.
And having lived in the valley, outside of Burbank, in the San Fernando Valley for like the last 20 years, like, no, we really don't care.
Oh, my.
And my last one is when Danny kicked the boba tea out of that nasty man's hand. And then everybody turned it into, like, a hot tea or whatever. He's like, no, it's a boba tea. I think it's a tapioca.
It's cold.
Doesn't matter. And it's cold. I thought that was hysterical. Like, because for a second I thought that was going to be, like, one of those scenes where it's something he saw himself doing, but he didn't do. And when I realized he did do it, I was like, yo, Danny, you just like everybody else.
And then he straightened his jacket like, oh, yeah, I just did that.
Yeah, I kicked your boba tea. Yeah, go ahead. I kicked your boba tea.
Oh. Anybody, y'all, Carrie, did you have one more?
No, not really. But it's a good series. I'm trying to get over my issues with the training.
That's good.
And just, you know, watch it for what it is. But it's hard. I have 13 years of my own training to try and not fall back on when I'm watching this.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was our first episode. We covered an entire season of Cobra Kai, everybody.
Wow.
And that's right, Shannon. Shannon's clapping, though, in the video. You can't really see her clapping, but she is clapping.
You can hear me. I'm trying to clap with my sleeves on so it doesn't deafen you.
Okay.
I clap very loud.
So we're going to go into season 2. We plan on recording that one probably December the 20th.
Good,
so
I can put that in my calendar.
So you have a Christmas special.
December the 20th.
I will say, so Carrie's a couple episodes into season 2 now. Shannon still hasn't seen season 2. I loved watching and seeing your comments on the notes and who your favorite character is and who you don't like and your comments, because I'm like, I'm sitting here thinking in my mind, I'm like, season 2, come on. Because I cannot wait to see
how
change once it gets into the full fray.
How much all caps I use in the next show's notes.
especially Shannon. Like, I'm really excited to see Shannon's opinion on some things. So
I'm gonna have to show you all the things I said to my best friend.
When you finish season 2, let me know, because I'm gonna throw my theory to you.
Okay.
Does it have?
Do I need to rewatch Karate Kid movies before you pitch me this theory?
You know, it wouldn't hurt, because there are going to be some things that come out, some little things that Daniel has that may come out in season 2. That you don't have to watch it. It doesn't really help the story move along any, but it's a nice nod to. That'll help you appreciate season 2 just a little bit more.
Does any of it have anything to do with the second movie? Because I know that the first season leads heavily on the first and third movie.
And the second movie is when they're in Japan. So yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll talk about what we think season 3 is going to be about next podcast, because we'll need. So watch the teaser trailer for it after season 2. If you haven't seen the teaser for season 3, so it probably wouldn't hurt you to go ahead and watch 1 through 3. Don't worry about the other two, because nobody likes those.
I actually liked it, but that's just me.
With the
Hillary.
The Hillary yeah. Swank.
It wasn't terrible.
And then the Jackie Chan one. So
I liked that one too, but it wasn't the Karate Kid. So
it wasn't.
I like it for what it is, not what it tried to be.
So to all our listeners, you have 1 month to watch season two of Karate Kid.
My God. Season two of the Karate Kid. The Karate Men.
The Karate Men. Cobra Kai. Guys, it's been fun. We know this has been a long episode, so we are sorry for the length, but we had a lot we had to talk about. Some stuff we're not going to talk about in the next episode anyways, like the fighting styles, because there's no point of all talking about all that. We're just going to jump right into season two. So, I am Mike. You can find me at the DC Mike on Twitter and in Discord. Carrie, where can people find you?
You can find me at Carrie Blackfire 42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire 42.
And Shannon, where can people find you?
You can find me almost anywhere at Shank Beezy. Shank is in the weapon, and Beezy as in breezy.
And on that note, everybody, I will take a little bit of what she just said and say, hey, everybody, stay breezy. We'll see you next time on Enter the Dojo.